From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present another episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast, in which Hank talked with Middle East and Islam research specialist Raymond Ibrahim. Let's now join Hank as he introduces his guest.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet directly to you. And that's why we have Raymond Ibrahim with us again for Hank Unplugged. Raymond, it's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you again, Hank.
You know, I really enjoy my conversations with you, but your work has been enormously significant in my own work as I wrote the book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. What I want to talk to you about today, maybe I'll set it up. Islam represents, in my estimation, an enormous threat to Christianity. And it's not only the mass genocide of Christians in the Middle East or the soft persecution of Christians in the West. It is because in concert with global Islamic jihadism, the West is being now, well, it's becoming Islamicized. And that in mind-numbing fashion. Even now, I think it's safe to say that Islam is poised to unseat scientific materialism and Christianity as the Sharia-defining seat of European civilization. And I think it's just a function of plain old demographics. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is not new, and that's the point I want to drive at the beginning of this Hank Unplugged podcast segment. Because during the Reformation, Martin Luther saw Islam as the axe of God's judgment falling on an unrepentant Europe and a church that he at least believed represented the whore of Babylon in Revelation chapter 17. I mean, he had a rather unusual reading of Revelation in general. But I think as well from the perspective of philosophical pagans, all religion was considered to be superstitious nonsense back then. And a majority considered Islam morally superior to Catholicism, and they believed that from both a theological and a sociological perspective. And maybe I should add even from a political perspective, because even back then, and we're talking about the time of the Reformation, 1517 and beyond, even back then, Christianity was stigmatized as a crusader religion. And it was thought that Islam was the arbiter of reason that had preserved reason during the so-called Dark Ages, and that philosophical wisdom had been advanced not only by Muslim philosophers, but by a Muslim philosophy that was far superior to Christian philosophy. So we're seeing history repeat itself. We're seeing illiberal liberalism, illicit Islam, unseating a common enemy, and that is the Christian ethic in the West. And again, that is all the more reason that I wanted to talk to Raymond Ibrahim and get his perspective on what is going on, because what is going on right now in Western civilization is earth-shaking. This is an epic moment. And this is a moment in either we can capitulate to what's going on or we can educate ourselves and do something while there's yet time. So, Raymond, what's your perspective? I mean, is history really repeating itself?
Absolutely, Hank. You know, you've said so much to comment on and, you know, almost all of it, actually all of it right on, and I agree with it. So let's kind of tackle some various aspects that you mentioned. Let's start with the beginning of history. And you are absolutely correct to point out that in Islam, from the start, you know, we see the physical manifestation, the war, the jihad, the conquests, and so forth, lesser known and forgotten, especially today, but it was well known back then, was that it was first and foremost an attack on Christian doctrine and Christian truths, so much so that among the earliest Christians who came under Islam, such as St. John of Damascus and Al-Kindi and so forth, people living in the 7th and 8th centuries, to them, Islam was just another heresy. It was just one more heresy that had cropped up. And you can see this, of course, in the fact that Muhammad, much of the Quran is so much based on the Bible, Old and New Testament. So to them, they just saw this as a new heresy. And the fundamental attack was on the divinity of Christ, was on his death and resurrection. And like all heresies, you know, it comes in accepting some truths and rejecting others. And so you can see, for instance, that as opposed to other world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, and so forth, that have absolutely nothing to say about Christianity, Islam has appropriated Christ and so many other biblical figures, and it says Christ is born of a virgin, he performed miracles, he's coming back on Judgment Day. So you can see all of that worms its way and presents Islam as a sort of co-religion that is in agreement with us. But then it completely attacked the more fundamental aspects, which I alluded to, the divinity of Christ and so forth. And so that was noted from the start amongst the Christian world in the 7th, 8th, and all throughout the centuries. Of course, during the High Ages and Middle Ages and the warfare, to your average Christian, your average crusader, all they understood about Islam is that these are infidels and non-Christians and haters of the cross and so forth. They didn't understand the actual doctrines. And it was always there amongst the more educated clergy and so forth. Now, to your point about, you know, the liberalism and hand-in-hand, that also, hand-in-hand with Islam, that also actually goes back to the beginning, because amongst, you find references in the writings of the church fathers and the early Christians, church fathers of the 7th and 8th centuries and 9th century, and all throughout the Crusader era, pointing out that one of the major enticements of Islam is that in as much as it agrees partially with Christianity and so presents itself as a religion and a monotheism and pious, so too does it actually encourage mankind to fall back on all the vices that Christianity came to put an end to, so such as polygamy or warfare for plunder, or dying and going to a very corporeal and carnal heaven, or having as many concubines, sex slaves, and so forth. And so they always felt that and saw that because it sort of watered down the conservatism of traditional Christianity, it was also a threat, and that was one of the reasons a percentage of Christians would often defect and go to Islam, because it allowed them to cultivate, less than Christian ethics and get away with it and be okay with it. You know, for instance, we always hear, it's such a phenomenon, we always hear that in Islam, homosexuality is banned. And in fact, it is. If you look at Sharia and Islamic teachings, homosexuality is unequivocally banned. However, if you look at the whole of Islamic history from the beginning to end, you will find nonstop homosexual activity, especially pederasty with boys, constantly going on in the open, boys being bought as sex slaves in markets by Muslims. No one frowns on it. And so there you see that sort of kind of symbiotic. On the one hand, Islam has this fierce, draconian face. On the other hand, so long as you just say the Shahada, proclaim Muhammad is the prophet of Allah and so forth, and toe the line, as it were, you can basically get away with all sorts of depravities and so forth. All of that was noted from the very start of Islam up until quite recently. Of course, now we're seeing the shift, which I think we can, progress to whenever you want, of how liberals have been presenting Islam as this, wonderful teaching and doctrine. And the reason, of course, is because they have something in common with Islam. And this is why, I look at it and I see, why is it the big question? Why do liberals of all stripes, feminists, multiculturalists, homosexuals, anyone, they all side with Islam against the oppressive Christian patriarchy and so forth, when in fact Islam is slaughtering their kind? Women are chattel. Homosexuals, as I said, technically are killed if they're infidels, at least. And I think the reason is it really goes back to a very simple sentence, which is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the enemy, the greater enemy of the liberal world, has always been Christianity. And therefore, its friend is the enemy of Christianity, the traditional ancient enemy of Christianity, which is Islam. And we've seen this not just historically, but it's, as you were pointing out, cropping its head out again, once again, right now.
It's an interesting thing that you bring up, because the mantra we hear in the West again and again is that religion of Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. That mantra is being communicated over and over again. Conversely, we hear that Christianity is a crusader religion. I suppose in some way, I'm interested in what you think sociologically. I mean, do you think that people actually believe this, the people that are saying this, or is it more along the lines that you mentioned, that the enemy of my enemy is my enemy?
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Islam research specialist Raymond Ibrahim. Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically marginalized. They are subjugated under the Islamic way. Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians by Raymond Ibrahim, poignantly states one urgent reason why the West, in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Wrestling with God, Church, and Religion from the beginning of his career to its end, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. Other topics include how to have a civil discussion about abortion, the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank and Raymond Ibrahim in their conversation.
The mantra we hear in the West again and again is that religion of Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. Do you think that people actually believe this, or is it more along the lines that you mentioned, that the enemy of my enemy is my enemy?
I think it's a little bit of both, and it depends on who you're talking about. So it's, I think, you see, what's happened today with history is, whereas once people, educated, rational people, used to look to history and look to the facts as documented and then formulate a conclusion, what's going on today is we have an a priori conclusion or conclusions, most of which are based on wishful thinking. And that comes first. And then based on that, we go into history, or we don't go into history at all, and then we understand it according to that that context. And so I'll give you an example in the field of Middle Eastern and Islamic studies. I'm sure you're aware of Edward Said and his book, Orientalism.
I am.
Right. And as you probably know, this very much is touted as revolutionizing the study of the Middle East and the Islamic world and so forth. And the reason for that is much less than anything innate to the book, which is really, as so many people have already shown and pointed out, it's a book written by a literary professor with a very little a coherency or a serious historical argument. But what made it successful, as so many things are made successful today, is less that what it said and more that it came at a time where it was needed. Okay, so in the 60s and the 70s, the idea came out, okay, multiculturalism, no real truths, all this going hand in hand, of course, with that, you know, the boogeyman of all world history is the white medieval Christian man. All of these things sort of coalesced, as you know, in the 60s and 70s and so forth. And so when a book like Orientalism came out, which basically said everything we ever known or heard or learned from the so-called Orientalists, which are the pioneers, the European scholars who studied the East, the Orient, is just nonsense. It's all lies. It was all fabricated to, and here you see, you know, popular psychology also, you know, made famous in the 60s and 70s and so forth, come into play, all to, justify oppressing the other and so forth. And so what it did is, it based on all the prominent philosophies that were in the air, you know, whether it's Marxist, materialist Marxism, you know, which says that all history is basically a product of economics. It has nothing to do with ideology. And so if one group attacks another group, it's because that group, has material wants, and so it wants to get what the other group has. There's nothing ideological about it. You had that thought floating in the air. You have, of course, multiculturalism. And so in that context, one question that everyone had to figure out is, well, what do you do with 13 centuries of European Christian writings that unequivocally demonize everything about Islam, from its theology to its history? And so the funny thing is, what Orientalism said and what people jumped on and accepted is, it said, you just dismiss it, you throw it away. Why? Because we know that, as I was saying, the idea comes first, and our idea is all people act the same, regardless. And therefore, we can honestly say that Muslims cannot have acted any worse than Christians. That's just an idea we've accepted. And we've already said that if there's violence, it's because of material needs and all these other ideas. And so what do you do with the fact that there's 13 centuries of Christians demonizing Muslims? Well, obviously that's 13 centuries of evil Christians, hypocrites, and envious Christians who are intentionally demonizing Muslims, so they can justify going and colonizing them and taking over them. And that idea just went rampant. Everyone loved it. It's still prominent right now, not because he proved anything, but because, like I said, it fit the need. It fitted what people wanted to understand. But if you look at those writings that I'm alluding to, the 13th centuries of Christian writings, if you knew those writings and you understood them, everything that's happening right now, ISIS and so forth, makes absolute perfect sense, because ISIS becomes just another piece of the continuity that started in the 7th century with Muhammad. And the reason we are now today all asking what happened, what's wrong, why do they hate us, is because we've jettisoned that history and decided instead to create this fiction. So in short, to your point, I think there's both concepts at work. I think there's those who are consciously trying to enable and empower any kind of force that dilutes and waters down Christianity, whether it be Islam, liberalism, or anything. And then I think there's the masses who have been so conditioned into believing these these overarching principles of culturalism, relativism, moral relativism, materialism, all of which conclude that there's no way you can say Muslims have done anything worse than Christians. And I don't care how many history books or chronicles, including Muslim ones, say that, we will jettison that idea and move forward. So I think that's what's at play fundamentally.
You know, back in the Reformation period, there are many like Luther who believed that the Roman Catholics were a far worse menace than was Islam. And as I alluded to earlier, they saw Islam as the axe of God's judgment falling against a Catholic Europe. And we sort of have that same thing going on today. The idea that somehow or other, Christianity is the worst of all religions because it is a crusader religion. This is pure mythology. Mythology on the level of the myth of the Andalusian paradise.
Yeah, Hank, you know, this it's important, really, and a lot of people I know are uncomfortable with this. I think both you and I, present company, not included. You really have to understand what's happening in the context of Protestantism, because as history unequivocally records, with Martin Luther, as you said, you know, the sort of relativism that we see today, you know, whereby Muslims can go and bomb and burn and rape and enslave, and, you know, we relativize that by saying, yeah, but what about the Inquisition or the Crusades? That goes all the way back to the Protestant Reformation and to Martin Luther and others like John Calvin. These guys, who, by the way, you know, from the Catholic point of view, and I'm not a Catholic, but just to give you the historical concept, just like the Catholic early church saw the Muslims as a heresy, of course, from the Catholic point of view, the Protestants were a heresy, you know, yet another one that didn't get stomped out, and that's how it was seen. And so what Martin Luther did is, as you said, he justified them. This is the rightful judgment of God, but it was much worse than that. He actually encouraged people not to resist them. There's actually a sentence, I can give you the quote later, attributed to him saying that, this one is famous, that he said basically that the Pope, like you said, is the Antichrist. Now, the word Antichrist was often in Europe attributed to the Sultan, the Ottoman Sultan at the time, who literally, under his authority, had hundreds of thousands of Christians either enslaved or slaughtered in the context of the jihad. Okay, so when Martin Luther and John Calvin and these fellows came and said that the Pope, for all his faults, I'm not defending the Pope, like I said, I'm not Catholic, and from what I understand, the Catholic Church certainly had its faults, but for all his faults, for them to basically put him on a level with the Sultan and even say he's, and they said he's worse, was really the beginning of this sort of relativism we see. Because to say that this one man, the Pope, who doesn't go and butcher and burn and Christians and enslave them and burn and destroy churches is as bad as the Muslim fellow who does, you can see immediately the sort of relativistic thinking that still plagues us to this day. But Martin Luther, actually, the sentence I was talking about, he says, after all, he's worse, the Pope, than the Sultan, because whereas the Sultan kills human bodies, meaning Christians, after all, what is so bad about that? Because they go to heaven, don't they, the Christians? Whereas the Pope is killing their soul. And so, you know, whatever the theological argument may be, again, look at what this man is really setting up. He's basically saying the persecution of real people physically and killing them is not as bad as, you know, what the Pope was doing. And then, you know, you get all this propaganda from the Protestants that completely put out of context what Catholic Europe was doing. The Inquisition, if you really study it today, was actually considered an act of mercy because Thomas Madden and Rodney Stark basically conclude the Inquisition was actually, in its context, in its history, an act of mercy because without it, people would have been killed and burned as enemies of the state, because to be a non-Christian or Catholic, you are an enemy of the state immediately. The Inquisition actually ended up killing something like 3% of the people they tried, but it saved 97% and so forth. So anyway, that's not the point. My point is the Protestants, the early Protestants, really created a lot of propaganda. You know, Vlad Tepes, Dracula, and all the artwork they drew in Germany, and just totally demonized him, even though in his country he's a hero because he actually kept the Muslims out in the wars against the Ottomans and so forth. So this kind of thing carried over into the Enlightenment, you know, and the Enlightenment was mostly in Protestant nations, you know, France excluded. And you get, again, that same, Catholicism bad, Crusaders bad, it's the crusading religion, like you say, it's all about violence and indulgences, and et cetera, et cetera. And really, that's the roots of how we get where we are, because that became the sort of Western epistemology of medieval Christianity. Bad. It's bad, it's evil, it's corrupt, it's hypocritical.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Islam research specialist Raymond Ibrahim in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Raymond Ibrahim's book, Crucified Again. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.